Hey, it's Meatball.
And Mark.
And this is the Rocker Morning Show on demand from 107.7 RKR.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rocker Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
Hi.
Hey, welcome back.
Thanks. Glad to be back.
My gosh. So anyway, we were talking about you getting a primary care physician.
Yeah.
That was the last conversation we had.
Well, the irony of that. No, this wasn't anything like that, thankfully. I've had multiple people reach out to me, though. And they were like, you talk about needing a doctor on Tuesday and then Wednesday you call in sick. And I was like, yeah, that's just bad timing.
Yeah.
This wasn't because of any kind of like health thing. This was because I don't label things properly in my fridge. The short lesson here is if you have leftovers in your fridge, probably from more likely from a restaurant than anything else, put a date on them. I don't know how old this food was, but it was like, it was late at night and I hadn't cooked anything and I was like, oh, I still got this in my fridge. So I ate it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, all right, got dinner down. We're taken care of. I went to bed, woke up the next morning. I was just telling you, like, I woke up like I normally do. And like, I knew I ate kind of late. So I was like, oh, my stomach kind of hurts, but it's probably because I ate late or whatever. Rolled out of bed, stood up, walked about the foot of my bed and went, oh, and then the rest is really gross history that I'm not going to put out on the radio.
Yeah. How old do you estimate this food was?
I can't imagine, because I'm not somebody who will usually eat food that's been in there more than a week.
Mm-hmm. Typically, it's 5 days.
Yeah.
And with some food, the quality doesn't last that long.
And after the fact, like, the more I think about it, the more I think it was definitely riding that line of the 5 day max.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Probably a little longer. But, like, in the moment, man, I was starving because I was working on a bunch of projects and I was like, oh, I need to eat something. And then that was the only thing that was ready. And I was like, all right, cool. And then it was not cool. This is definitely not cool.
No. Man, Meatball, I'm telling you, it's like one little thing. Hey, if anybody out there has got a giant bubble business and would like an endorser, I'm telling you, Meatball might be shooing.
I love Bubble Boy. It's one of my favorite movies, actually. Was it Jake Gyllenhaal in that movie? And then Vern Troyer was in that movie, too.
Oh, yeah,
Dr. Freak. He was Dr. Freak.
That's awesome.
In Bubble Boy. I love that movie. You know what? If you could turn me into a real-life Bubble Boy, I'd be on board with that. Because, I mean, look at the adventures he had, you know?
Right.
I'm down with that.
And you'll be protected from your own leftovers.
Somebody has to approve the leftovers that come out of my fridge and go into my bubble. Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rock Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
I love a good prank. I used to pull a lot of them when we were in college. And then, you know, we used to go antiquing our buddies, you know, in the halls. And when they slept at night, that was pretty funny. But, you know, sometimes pranks can go a little too far. Did you know somebody who I had a friend who, like, they would either go too far or, like, barely at all. It was like, ha-ha, I got you. Or it was like, your entire family is now dead. Like, it was that extreme kind of prank stuff. I don't think he actually murdered anybody, but
I was going to say, I would be a little concerned if someone you knew actually killed his entire family.
No. I don't think he ever actually murdered anybody, but I wouldn't put it past him for him to do something like a Cartman thing where it's like, I made you eat your parents and chili, you know, that type of thing. Like, he would think of that at least. Anyways, do you know somebody who would go too far in a prank?
Yeah, I'd say yes.
All right.
Okay, what are we talking about here?
Well, okay, this prank went too far. This happened in Brooklyn, Michigan. It's kind of southeast of Jackson, just north of the Speedway there. Columbia Junior High School teacher, Jacob Boone. He had a student absent one day. This happened back in January, I believe. And instead of just letting it go by as the day the student was absent, he created a memorial for him like he died.
Good Lord.
He pretended one of his students died.
That's freaking morbid.
There was like a whiteboard, I guess, in the front of his classroom, had a photo of the kid, and they're not naming the child.
Yeah, clearly.
Had a photo of the kid on there, had like 50 messages around it, like, we will miss you, and
oh
RIP, and all this kind of stuff, you know. It's not real clear as to whether the kids in the classroom were in on the joke or not.
Yeah.
You know, and it may have been like one of those inside things. But it did eventually get out, you know, it got onto social media. Another school reached out after they saw it posted on social media and asked if the school needed anything after the death of one of their students. And the administrators are like, what are you talking about?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So he was busted for playing this very morbid prank. Yeah, the kid was just absent. I did see one report where, like, the kid may have actually been out for a death in the family.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably why he was actually gone. But this is awful. The teacher was suspended for 6 weeks, but then came back to work, and they gave him a new gig as a varsity track coach. You faked the kid's death!
Right.
Come on!
I hope when it comes to racing, he doesn't ever use the term dead last, because it'd be like, that's not in good taste, fella.
No,
anybody out there listening knows of a prank that went really bad or went way over the top, hit us up, 978-1077. If you can top this one, I'm going to seriously be shocked.
But it's one thing too. This guy was in like a place of authority.
Yeah, that's messed up. Over these kids.
It's so wrong. Now, this is a scenario, you know, the prank went too far. Maybe there was one positive thing out of this for the kid that this happened to, you know, because when he got back, he definitely knows who his real friends are after this, you know. It's like, you thought I was dead, huh? Were you sad? Did you sign the card? You know, were you going to come to my funeral? Did you cry a little bit, you know?
When it comes to his friends, he knows where they lie. Maybe that's in bad taste.
That's
It's time to turn up your dials and tune out the traffic, because we're playing the Daily Five on the Rocker Morning Show. Testing the mental magnitude of your favorite morning monkeys on the radio. And now, your hosts for the Daily Five, Meatball and Mark Frank House.
It is the Daily Five, where Mark and I ask each other questions. The other one answers. Today, I'm asking the questions. Mark is answering. Mark, you got some help on the line today from Kevin. Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
What's happening, guys?
Not a whole lot, man. You got to help me get 3 out of 5 questions correct. If you do, I'll take the 4-0 lead for the week. If not, Meatball will bounce back with a point.
Bounce back with a point. I'll at least keep you from sweeping the week.
Every point matters this year for some unnamed reason.
Yeah. All right, question number one. This is entertainment. This one's probably a softball just to get you rolling. Which 1980s movie inspired fraternities around the country to have toga parties?
Oh, my God.
Was it American Graffiti, Animal House, or Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah, American Graffiti was in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure this is Animal House.
Yeah, that's what I'd go with.
Let's go Animal House, final answer.
Animal House, final answer. Yeah, that was a softball. I figured you'd get that
nice one.
Nice. All right, moving on. Question number two. This has to do with health. Cephalgia is the medical term for what common malady? Is it for a headache, a cramp, or the hiccups?
Cephalgia?
Cephalgia. I can spell that for you if you would like.
A headache, a cramp, or the hiccups?
Yep.
Oh, man, that's a hard one.
What is that the medical term for?
Cephalgia.
Oh, man.
What do you
think, dude?
I don't know. That's a tough one. You know, I'm torn between headache and cramp.
Yeah.
I feel like we should go with the one. I think we should go with headache.
All right, I got you.
I don't know why. Let's go headache, final answer.
Going headache, final answer.
Wow.
Damn it.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
That was a tough one.
I was hoping the medical question would get you.
Yes.
That
man.
That wasn't cool at all.
Those other two options were very tempting to guess.
All right, question number three. This is toys.
For the win.
What 1958 toy caused a mass craze among children? Was it the Dennis the Menace doll, the Disney spaceship set, or the hula hoop?
Oh, gotta be the hula hoop, but...
What? But that there's no way that came out in 58. That must have come out way before.
You don't think so?
I don't know.
Oh, that's possible.
I feel like the hula hoop, I don't... So what was it? There was the hula hoop?
The Dennis the Menace doll, Disney spaceship set, or hula hoop?
Man, that is a tough one.
In the fifth.
1958.
I don't understand what the Disney spaceship set.
Yeah, probably not hula hoop. So.
Well, Disney was like exploding at that time. You had like the Wide World of Disney and stuff on TV.
Yeah.
I think Epcot had just opened, maybe.
I feel like he's baiting us.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of want to say, what was the first one again? The Dennis the Menace doll? That doesn't make any sense. Maybe it was the hula hoop.
I don't.
Well, we got to get an answer. So
Kevin was convinced of it. You weren't. And now you're convinced of it. And you talked Kevin out of it.
Yeah, dude, 100%.
This is just a mental torment. What should we go with, Kevin?
I don't know. Disney, I think.
Yeah, let's go rocket ship. Final answer.
Disney rocket ship. Final answer.
Good Lord.
It was the hula hoop.
Oh, good Lord.
God.
This, normally I would have been like, hey, I need an answer. But the back and forth on that was too funny.
Why was that such a conundrum? I don't know.
Oh, man.
All right, question number four. This is history. Which state was the first in the world to have a city run entirely on nuclear power? Was it Nevada, Idaho, or North Dakota?
Ooh.
It's not Nevada. Nevada runs off of the Hoover Dam. That, at least Vegas is operated off the Hoover Dam.
Oh.
I like North Dakota.
Now, for clarification, not the whole state. It's just like one city within the state.
Oh, one city within the state.
It had the first city.
Okay.
And what were the choices again?
It was Nevada, Idaho, or North Dakota.
You think it's North Dakota or Idaho?
I think it's North Dakota. I mean, it's a very sacred state for the, you know, a lot of native history there. So I would imagine our country would have definitely done something stupid like put a nuclear power plant there.
I thought you were going to be like a lot of indigenous culture up there. They respect the nuclear power.
Yeah, I think North Dakota.
All right, I'm with you.
North Dakota, final answer.
North Dakota, final answer. It was Idaho.
Ah.
Arco, Idaho was the first city in the world to ever run entirely off of nuclear power.
All right.
Down to it. Final question. I'm glad we got to this one because I really wanted to ask it. This is sports. Billy Bullfrog Dietrich was a famous athlete from the late 1930s in which sport? High jump, boxing, or baseball?
It's not baseball. I've watched the baseball Ken Burns documentary about 8 times. I've never heard of Bullfrog Boy.
Billy Bullfrog Dietrich.
Boxing, high jump, or baseball?
Correct.
Billy.
You don't think it's baseball.
It sounds like a very baseball name, but that's what Meatball wants. That's why he put the that's why he put that answer there. I honestly think it's high jump. That's been the theme of Meatball's question. It is definitely high jump. So we're going to go high jump, final answer.
Yes.
Going high jump, final answer. It was baseball.
What?
Oh.
Famous.
He was a pitcher for the White Sox. First to ever throw a no-hitter while wearing corrective lenses. It was in 1937 against the St. Louis Browns, and he actually has a mention in the movie A Christmas Story.
What?
He traded the bullfrog as an actual line in the movie.
That is ridiculous.
So it was definitely baseball. Well, I managed to keep you from getting the sweep this week, but...
give me a break, dude. Famous, my ass. It wasn't even in the Ken Burns baseball documentary.
He was in A Christmas Story. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying.
It's a fictional movie, Meatball. Well, congratulations on the pity point. Misleading questions. but Kevin, it was always a great time hanging out with you, man. You have got tickets to see Fleetwood Mac tribute cover band at the Warner Vineyards next weekend, man. We appreciate you hanging out with us.
Yeah, dude, they got great wine, too. Can't wait. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Show with Meatball
and Mark Frankhouse.
So we were talking earlier about really bad pranks or pranks that went really bad. And while we were doing the Daily Five, kind of in that time period, we got a call. Quite possibly one of the most epic failures of a prank I've ever heard in my entire life.
Yes.
Hello, Rocker Morning Show. You there?
Hey, how you doing? A practical jokes that went wrong.
Oh, yeah, let's hear it.
Me and a guy had one for years and years and years, and he decided one day to put my car on the roof of the business with a telehandler, and it broke through the roof.
Oh no!
Dude!
The car, you talk about the owner was pissed off, I was pissed off, the guy got fired, that went pretty wrong pretty fast.
Oh my god, oh no!
There's a practical joking back and forth.
Oh, dude.
That's awful. Not even testing the weight restrictions beforehand.
Oh, dude, we're like 24. I mean, this was years ago before nobody thought about that kind of stuff.
It was just... What kind of car was it?
That would have been my Cougar. I had a 1978 Mercury Cougar.
Oh, my God, dude.
That went through the roof.
Those were heavy as hell.
Oh yeah, that thing was it wasn't like a Lincoln or nothing, but yeah, it was that white car. It rode beautiful.
What kind of building are we talking about that he put it on the roof of?
Oh, it was just an old little factory. I mean, that part of the building was like part of an old garage, like shop kind of thing.
It had
wood trusses in it. I mean, it was...
Well, there's your problem. You put it on top of the garage. Guards are supposed to go inside the garage. It wanted to get inside, and the quickest way was through the roof once he put it on there, you know?
Well, after talking to him on what his logic was, the last joke I had got on him before is I had his car towed away, and he thought it was stolen.
Uh-huh.
So he was going to get me good. He thought putting it up there, it was going to be up there, and I wasn't going to be able to get it down.
Oh, my God. Well, you got it down. Kalamazoo's Rock Station, 107.7 RKR. It's a Rocker Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse and Meatball, joined by an original member of Judas Priest. He's been in the band since the 60s. I know, can you believe that? He is the bass player, Ian Hill. Welcome to the Rocker Morning Show, man.
How's it going, Ian?
All right, thanks. And yourself?
I'm doing well, man. How's the morning going for you so far?
Oh, so far, so good. Yeah.
Awesome. First off, congratulations on the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a cool thing to do.
How was that night, you know, being able to unite with present and past members of the band?
It was great to see everybody there, you know. It's a pity that Dave couldn't be there, you know. He sadly passed away some years ago now.
Yeah.
But everybody who was on stage, you know, they all deserved their place, and it was a great night to get everyone together, you know.
Yeah. Was it pretty simple stepping back in with like the former members? Was it just kind of like clockwork again when you guys were practicing?
Ken's got his own band as well now, so he's probably playing the same tunes.
Yeah, sure.
So he's well drilled with them, you know. Maybe Les, he might have had to put an hour or two practicing, you know. But they're simple songs. They're iconic songs, you know. They're songs everybody knows. So it was pretty straightforward to get it together, you know. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do.
Yeah, for sure. You know, the new album, Invisible Shield, that came out a few weeks ago. And again, man, I'm so impressed with the way that your band can continue to put out legitimately great albums. Now, when do you feel like Judas Priest as a band really found their vision of what they wanted to be musically? Because obviously Rock and Roll, quite a different album than, you know, something like Sad Wings of Destiny. When do you think, was there a particular album that kind of the writing process kind of made you realize like, this is the kind of music that we would really like to put out there?
It was probably British Steel.
Yeah.
Because heavy metal didn't exist when we started. It was called heavy rock or right. progressive rock even, you know. And we went up all different avenues. You know, there was a bluesy type of thing. There was a rocky type of thing. There was a heavier thing. There was even the lighter and the more commercial sort of avenues we went up. I mean, but it probably wasn't until 78, 79, that when somebody said, oh, yeah, they're a heavy metal band, you knew what to expect. And everything pretty much came together with British Steel in 1980. That was the music, you know, the direction of the music, and of course the image as well. We'd lost the satins and the velvet, and the, you know, the flowers, you know, which is a hangover from the from the hippie days, you know. And we were into leather by then, you know, and it suited the music perfectly. It really did. Yeah. And that when we took the first real step on the direction, and that went right the way up really till Our Defenders of the Faith. You know, that was a peak of that direction, if you know what I mean.
Right.
After that, we did the experimental Turbo album, which had mixed reviews. You know, it lost us a lot of fans, but gained us a lot of new ones. You know, and then we went with the harder edge with Ram It Down and Painkiller. You know, and that's. We're following on from that now, you know.
It's going to be a blast, man. You guys are going to be here on Saturday, and I really hope everybody comes out and gets tickets to the show because it's going to be awesome. Invisible Shield, obviously the new album. Very excited to see some of the new songs from this album played live. And, man, I want to thank you for your time today and really want to thank you for what you've done through your music. It's helped me out a ton, as well as many others. And we can't wait to see you in Kalamazoo on Saturday. It's been a pleasure talking to you, man.
Yeah, indeed. Same here, mate. Be safe and see you on Saturday.
This is just a small portion of this awesome interview that we did with Ian Hill of Judas Priest. We got the full 18-minute interview, uncensored, talking about the band's history and all sorts of cool stuff up on the 107.7 RKR app on demand. Download it right now.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rock and Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
So we've been talking about pranks this morning after the one that was pulled. In Michigan, the teacher that faked one of his students' deaths, prank that went a little far. We had a great one a little bit ago about a car that was put up on the roof and it fell through. Mark, I got another one here.
Okay.
And let's just say it's an item bigger than a car.
Oh, no.
All right, let us have it.
This was back, let's say, in probably 78.
Okay.
Of course, during homecoming for school. This was done by the senior class at Coloma High School. There was an area of the center of the school, the courtyard, that everybody used to always, part of homecoming, go in there and decorate that.
Right.
The senior class got a hold of this old airplane. Somehow they got it up on the roof and lowered down in to the courtyard. And, of course, they damaged the and the roof and everything. And, of course, school board wasn't happy with this.
No.
And decided, you know, they had to hire a crane to lift this thing back up out of the courtyard.
Oh, my God.
And, of course, the cost of this, you know, came out of the senior class fund.
So the senior class had to pay to remove the airplane from the courtyard of the school.
Correct.
Oh my God.
And if anything, I believe that the, you know, the class fund was for senior trips. Well, therefore, you know, since that fund was diminished for paying for this crane to lift the airplane out of the port.
The irony would have been if initially that senior trip was supposed to be a flight somewhere.
Exactly.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It's a Rock and Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse.
And Meatball.
Some unfortunate news to share. I don't normally like to get into unfortunate news, but I did want to hit on this because she has been
having the time of her life the last few years. She's an Ohio woman that we discussed not too long ago. In fact, I think it was last year. Mm-hmm. She's been a lifelong Detroit Tigers fan. Her name is Louise McVickers.
Oh, I remember her, yeah.
Yeah, she was the one who visited all 30 professional Major League Baseball parks in one season last year.
That's cool, yeah.
And she wrapped it up with her favorite park, which is Comerica. And she went to the Tigers game. She actually got to throw out the first pitch.
That's pretty cool.
Because they had told the Tigers organization, hey, she's doing a 30 baseball park tour. And, yeah, she got to throw out that first pitch last year. And it was really important that her grandson shared this with her because they both had a long-standing connection between sports, particularly baseball.
Right.
Because we talked about this over 20 years ago. Her husband passed away.
Right, he played
for the Mudhens, and it was like this whole big thing that they shared together.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, she passed away.
Oh, man.
I'm friends with her grandson, Mitch, on Facebook because I reached out to him originally to because this popped up on my timeline. I was like, this is awesome. And so I reached out to him and he gave me permission to use these photos.
He's the one that went on the trip with her, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And he shared this long post this morning about her. And I was like, oh no, man, she passed away.
That's unfortunate.
She lived a great life. I mean, 92 years old. And I mean, at 92, she got to tour every single ballpark in Major League Baseball. Like, she accomplished more at 92 than I have in the last 5 years.
Right, right. I'm looking through these photos, you know, because we've got the whole gallery up of all of the ballparks that she went to. And, I mean, she just, she looks like she's having the time of her life, man.
I will say, that Pittsburgh park is awesome.
Dude.
Number two, the Pittsburgh Pirates Park, the PNC.
Easily one of the most beautiful baseball fields in, I think, the entire sport. The backdrop.
Seriously.
In the outfield with the bridge and the skyline and everything, like, they built that park knowing exactly what was going to be behind there.
Man.
It is perfect.
Yeah, that is a beautiful park. So, hey, you want to honor her her memory? Visit the 1077 RKR app and, like Meatball said, check out all these photos and see which park is your favorite. Because I'm scrolling through, there are some serious awesome.
The Nationals has the Washington Nationals have a really nice mm-hmm. ballpark too.
Man.
I forget the name of the field there in Cincinnati, the Reds field.
Yes.
That's a really nice field as well. They play the Cubs regularly, so I should probably go down there.
I was going to say the Cards, they've got the arch in the background.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, these are some cool. Check out these photos. They're absolutely amazing. And rest in peace.
Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It is the Rocker Morning Show with Meatball.
And Mark Frankhouse.
I like looking for unique places to live. There's one up in Traverse City that I would have never thought I'd say this in my entire life. I want to live inside this bank.
Oh, really?
And it's not even like an old downtown bank with, like, you know, that looks like an old timey bank or something like that. This is like, I don't know, somebody just closed a branch of three fifths or fifth thirds or whatever bank, you know, and they just were like, hey, this would make a cool home. And it does.
That is so weird.
I have this up on the Rocker app, and it looks like they're kind of finishing renovations of this home, maybe. Like, they're just getting it done for the first time to sell it as a home. It's unique, for sure. The entryway to the bank, like, where you would walk in the front doors, is right into, like, this foyer area where the dining area is going to be, and right into the kitchen. And then you had this big living room past that, which would have been like where the tellers were and, like, you know, where you go just deposit all your stuff.
Yeah.
And then out the sliding door of the living room is the drive-thru. It's still there. They left the drive-thru, all the lanes and everything. They took out the tube system, unfortunately. I would have loved that. Like, if the mailman could have, like, you left the tube system in, and instead of having a mailbox, the mailman comes in and just shoves the mail in the tube and goes,
right,
you know, into the house. But yeah, this is a bank that you can live in now, and it is, I think it looks awesome, man.
This looks goofy as hell. I
I, like
I don't
goofy,
know if
though.
I could live in a bank. I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's some money stashed somewhere.
Well, and that's okay. So there's three bedrooms in this place. They're all in the back of the in the back of the house.
Yeah.
And one of them has to be like one of them has to be where all the lock boxes were, you know, all the safety deposit boxes were.
Yeah. That
one
makes
of them
sense.
Has to be where the safe was. And then one of them has to be like some other secret bank room that I'm sure exists in most banks or something. The basement is what's really cool. And I did not really think about the fact that banks had basements. Maybe that's where the vault was in this bank. I'm not sure. It's a huge open room, and the only way to get down there from the main house is through this spiral staircase in the middle of the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But it's this huge open space. It would make the coolest man cave ever. It has like a little kitchenette down there. It's got its own toilet. Then I mean, it just looks like a toilet. It's a toilet, a sink, and that's it. But it is it's just a blank canvas for somebody to turn this into the ultimate man cave.
I was literally about to text my sister-in-law because she's one of the more well-known realtors in Traverse City.
Yeah.
And I was about to text you, be like, please tell me you're not the one selling the bank house. It doesn't look like she is, though.
Okay.
So she can stay.
Now, the other thing about this is, and I mentioned the downstairs area, you could turn into a man cave, gym, whatever you want to do with it. There's a special thing about this basement. It has a secret exit.
Oh, the best.
So the basement area actually kind of goes underneath where the drive-through area is on the bank. And on the other side of the drive-through is this door.
Huh.
The door goes down a staircase into the basement. So if you had like a bunch of dudes over and you didn't want to disturb anybody in the main house or whatever,
yeah,
you could literally park them in the bank drive-thru. They walk through the secret tunnel down to the man cave and people inside the house would have no idea.
Man, that'd be kind of a cool apartment. You could just rent that out, you know?
Well, okay, there's that too, I guess. But like, you know, secret tunnel man cave.
Okay.
Secret tunnel man cave, Mark.
Have fun.
That's the dream, Mark. That's the dream.
The American dream. Kalamazoo's Rock Station 107.7 RKR. It's the Rock Morning Show with Mark Frankhouse.
Hi, I'm Meatball.
I've always wanted to do one of those like murder mystery things,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you have to kind of do the whodunit clue type dinners.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
There is actually a murder mystery train in Michigan.
What?
This sounds so cool. This popped up on my timeline today on Facebook, and I had to write about this. This seems so sweet. If you open up the Rocker app, WRKR.com, I got the info on this. This thing looks awesome. And, like, I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks, and I'm actually going to be back in town. I'm honestly thinking about doing this. This is the funny thing, right? It's $125 a ticket. Now, this is a 3-hour train ride.
So the train is actually moving.
Yes.
Oh,
so it's a 3-hour train ride, and it comes with a 4-course meal, and it's inside like 3 vintage cars. So there's like 3 vintage car like that you'll sit in.
Yeah.
And it's like pulled by a locomotive, and you'll sit in one of the 3. You get a 4-course meal with dessert included. And you get this murder mystery thing as well.
For $125?
For $125.
That's a steal. That sounds awesome.
So the info on this is pretty wild. So it's part of the Old Road Dinner Train. And they do this somewhat regularly. But this experience, it's called I Love the 80s to Death, a live murder mystery show. And it's 80s themed.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's not like one of those old timey murder mysteries. It's like an 80s themed one.
Oh, that's even better. So I had like Murder on the Orient Express.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So this is in Blissfield, Michigan. So the only unfortunate thing is if we want to go, we're going to have to take a little bit of road trip to go because it's on the east side, like the southeast side of Michigan.
Okay.
Here's what the menu is like. It says flour plus salt, scratch house bread, embers plus ash baked, smoked salt, cultured butter, and maple. That's the bread. Leaves and shoots, wild field greens, seasonal veggies, 24-month shaved Parmesan Reggiano. Like, C&K house smoked maple. Okay. Ember and Carrots. Ember roasted local carrots, spring greens, smoked pumpkin seeds.
This sounds awesome. This is,
dude, peach plus bird. Free range organic bird, charred over branchlets and wood, peach spice, and scratch barbecue lacquered. Grilled preserved peaches plus aromatics. The menu is insane.
Yeah. And you're only paying $125. You get to ride a train, have a menu like that, and you get to solve a murder.
Dude, seriously.
From the 80s.
For real. And the best thing is nobody really dies.
Oh, well, then you can't solve a murder then if nobody dies.
Well, it's, you know, it's a play.
Oh, okay.